Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode, actually the finale episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, alongside
the other host, Zachary Newton. Welcome back.
We're back, y'all, with part 9 and the finale to this incredible journey of Masters of the Air. And part 9 really does, it's the perfect cherry on top. It's like the perfect finale episode that you could have asked for this series. They wrap up all the storylines that we have, the ongoing ones, and pretty much just paint a picture of the end of the war and even what happens after the war.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was a really great episode. I was wrong on the runtime. Google lied to me, but decent length. Was like an hour, mm-hmm. 10 minutes, hour, 15 minutes. I made the comment to you when I was watching this, like, I feel like this episode almost could have been like turned into a movie. Like it was really well put together. I liked the story, like, and you were able to kind of like follow the characters. Even if you didn't know all of the backstory of, you know, kind of how they got to where they were. So Solid episode, great way to kind of close out on the show.
I feel like 20 years ago, it would have definitely, the whole series would have been a movie. You know, just would have been like a shortened version of Buck and Bucky's flight missions, and probably put them straight to the Stalag, and then tell the rest of the story of Rosie and the rest of the bunch. But well, overall, man, incredible journey.
Yeah, if it were 20 years ago, we probably would have had some interviews at the beginning of each episode, like we did in Band of Brothers, and I think that would have just like made some of the weight of some of this probably even more impactful. I found that very like what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it. It really kind of like made you focus a lot on the episode when I was watching Band of Brothers and being like, oh shoot, like before you even get into the show, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. This is all real. This all happened. So unfortunately, we're too far past that time to be able to have that in the show.
Hmm. Well, as you mentioned, we do have the actual Bloody 100th documentary that's on Apple TV now. So if people wanted to check that out, they could double up and kind of just watch that documentary and, get more educated and learn more about the stories that were told in this series in a more in-depth way, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll be watching that next, that's for sure.
You got your wish, Zach. I mean, you were worried there wouldn't be any air action in this one, but
I was.
We do get a ton of it. We open up with like probably the most, one of the most nail-biting air sequences we've had in the show so far with, obviously it's a different time in the war at this point. It's February 3rd, 1945. So the Allies at this point pretty much control the air. Although there are very, really tough missions and whatnot, it is a different time in the war where the Allies are just, you're seeing it more and more in this episode throughout where the Allies are at this point, it's kind of a done deal. You even got that scene where the POWs are marching and the German soldiers are retreating and it's just a bunch of kids and old men. Yeah. And you see the German, like the Nazi officers, they're like, oh, it's a lost cause pretty much. If they're children and old men. That's all that's left, right? Mm-hmm. But you do get this air mission and you do get this intense sequence with Rosie. Just highlighting him again, he becomes my favorite character on the show probably prior to this episode, but this one is just, you know, it explains the reason why he's like a fan favorite or a personal favorite of mine, where, you know, he's going down, he's perfectly calm, he's pretty much gliding over an intense battle between the Germans and the Russians down low, right? And he makes sure all his men escape. There's a moment there where you think he's not going to escape. Mm-hmm. And he miraculously gets out, you know, jumps off the plane, parachutes across. Actually, he tries to parachute across enemy lines over to the Russian side. It's is unsuccessful in doing so, finds himself in the middle of an active battle. And let's just say he was blessed to be caught by the Russians. And by the way, there's several times in this episode where allies, you know, almost shoot their own. Actually, they do successfully shoot their own.
Yeah, they do.
Men.
Yeah.
Accidentally, right?
Yeah, several points. And yeah, you're right. Landed in literally in the middle of no man's land. Mm-hmm. Last place I would want to be. Oh, it's crazy. I'm glad he made it out. But no, I completely agree with you on this. Like, Rosie, you know, full transparency, is my favorite character in the show as well. He feels like he was, like, from the time, or like he belongs in that time almost. Like, when you see him, just the way that he kind of carries himself, mm-hmm. It feels way more appropriate to me than, you know, like Gale Cleven, or at least the way that he's portrayed in this show. Still like him.
Yeah,
he's
very much a throwback. My mustache right now to him is an homage to Rosie. Unintentional, but it's an homage to Rosie. Going on, I mean, I want to talk about two things. Well, we'll kind of catch up on the POW situation, because you got Bucky and the Tuskegee Airmen characters that we've met so far that are still in the Stalag at this point, and they're now pretty much throughout the entire episode being given orders to march from here to there and just to different areas, probably because the Germans are having to retreat further and further away from the front lines and trying to keep whatever negotiating chip or bargaining chip they can with these POWs, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't actually get an actual breakout attempt that we were expecting. No. We were expecting some sort of escape plan to occur with everything that we saw drawn up from with Macon and Jefferson and you know, the mapping of the surrounding area to having to blend in and use like Buck and Bucky as the drivers. Mm-hmm. We were expecting something like that, but it actually turns out like there's just a monkey wrench in the plans, and they have to pretty much go along with what the Germans are saying, because if they move at this point, they're getting shot almost certainly. Mm-hmm. And you do see that throughout the entire episode, aside from Buck's successful escape.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just kind of along for the ride. And you got to figure that was absolutely terrifying, thinking that, you know, the Germans are desperate now. Maybe they just don't follow the conventional rules of war to not kill POWs. But, you know, thankfully for in history's sake, this did not occur with this group of men.
Yeah, that's for sure. I was getting like super nervous when everybody was on the march, and all of a sudden the Germans were like, to the side of the road, to the side of the road. I'm like, oh,
fuck. Like they're gonna go into a ditch or something.
Yeah. Well, no, I thought they were just pushing them off to the side of the road so they could just like gun them all down.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just let them fall.
Yeah. I was a little nervous at that moment. Thank God that wasn't the case. But yeah, just a lot of us reading that the Allies were way too close.
Simply be, because the Allies were too close. Maybe they didn't want the dead weight. Maybe who knows what they would have done for. Maybe out of hatred. There was times when Bucky's like putting the flag up later in the episode that I thought, what if somebody just goes rogue from the German side, just like fed up, you know, ripping down? Because for them, I just imagine they're looking at that flag with the same patriotism or the same fervor that an American feels towards the American flag, right?
Yeah.
So what if you have like just a rogue guy who's on a tower that they haven't taken down yet, and he would have just shot? I was just expecting Bucky to get shot at the end. I'll be honest, that I was waiting for it. But it was a different time in the war. At this point, the victory was all but secured. This episode kind of felt like if you're playing a game of Risk or a game of like Civilization, where you definitely have your enemy beat. And it's the funnest part of the game when you're just surrounding their nation with all your troops and like your technology. You just know it's over. They won't surrender yet, but you just know it's over.
Yeah, at that point, you're just playing with them.
And you kind of see that crossover with the mentality of some of the troops, right? Because you see Crosby now is a major. He's very much a leader on the base. And it's one of those things where he's having to tell somebody on the base where the equipment room was closed right before a pivotal mission. Yep. And he goes over to the guy and tells me, you ever fallen into German territory without a parachute or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think about it at the time, but I thought about it now. These guys, for the most part, are coming into the war, not necessarily that they're not having risk in the missions that they're running, but Crosby's a part of the old guard of these guys who were running missions the year prior, you know, and he was a part of those missions where B-17s didn't have P-51s with them, you know, punching a hole through the enemy air fighters. So he's pretty much instilling that type of discipline in these new guys the hard way, slamming his head into his dinner plate or lunch
plate. Yeah. It was a pretty epic moment. I liked seeing that side of Crosby. It was amusing, to say the least. But Crosby's got a lot of news in this episode as well. I mean, we find out that he's going to be a father. Seems quite nervous about that and unsure that that's a good thing. So that's nice. I mean, Rosie's conversation with him was quite interesting. It's like, that's good. It's like, that's good, right? Mm-hmm. Are you sure that's good? But no, exciting news for him.
Look, man, Crosby's in that situation where he's scared of the man he's going to be when he goes back home.
Yeah. You know,
because of the atrocities he's seen, the things he's had to do. And Rosie's coming back from what is the name of this camp that he saw? Zabikowo camp in Poland, I believe, which was it had to have been a concentration camp or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Where they left just piles of people, mainly Jewish people, burned in piles, their bodies just in piles, kids, all sorts, you know, women, children, men, it doesn't matter. There's piles of bodies, and he pretty much tells Crosby, listen, like, yes, there's atrocities, but these atrocities needed to be fought. And we do learn more about Rosie that after the war, he continued fighting and eventually ended up helping prosecute Nazis in the Nuremberg trials. And it's just insane how everything comes full circle in somebody's life.
Oh, absolutely. The moment with Rosie walking through that concentration camp and just kind of like seeing everything for the first time, firsthand, was crazy. Like, it's surreal just to see atrocities really that were committed at the time. I mean, you've already said it, you've got people just strung up, stood there in the freezing cold, burnt, gassed. It's sickening. But I feel like the show did a really good job of kind of portraying how bad it was, and you know, kind of seeing that in the show made me think for a minute, like, man, like, every now and then I hear people on the news and whatnot compare certain individuals to Hitler, and I'm like, and how can you draw that comparison? Like, it's just it's laughable.
It's so insulting. it's beyond insulting to accuse somebody of, like, at that degree, you know. It's insane because of a petty difference in opinion, you know.
Yeah.
It's just insanity. But talking about Rosie, I gotta say, I didn't know how his journey with the Russians going back was gonna be, because there was that language barrier and this general that I couldn't quite get a pulse on necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully for him, he did make it back, because that trip back was not just like a quick trip back to London. He had to go to Moscow, then he says to Italy, and he saw like all sorts of parts. He seems to have had a good trip, because he got to ride in Churchill's like custom fitted plane, which is pretty dope. And pretty much that was the round out of his story. The episode really starts with the end of Bucky's line, pretty much, in this, at least in this series. He continues on after the fact. Yeah. But George, Bill, and Buck, I forgot the last guy's name, but Buck makes an escape, even though he's not the one necessarily who was more keen on escaping. Bucky was.
Right? He was the last one to get into the escape.
Exactly. Bucky stays behind, though, plays the hero's journey there, and ends up, thankfully, not getting shot by the Germans right there. Pretty much simply because the Germans played nice in that moment, because if they wanted to, they probably could have. However, they were also probably thinking the fact that I think those German troops were probably outnumbered by the amount of POWs they had marching.
Oh, yeah.
And if a gunshot would have been fired, killing a troop there, like a unarmed troop,
mm-hmm.
It probably would have been chaos. Similar to the way things panned out at the camp later, Stalag 8, where they get caught in that crossfire, where like the Americans and all the Allies are coming over to free everybody.
Yeah, I think, was it Stalag 8, or was it? I think it may have been, but they were overrun there.
Confused with the numbers. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I love the scene where the P-51's coming across And I was a little nervous because I was like, man, he's just firing machine gun fire straight into this camp right here. But
yeah,
pretty precise, takes out the towers and does so in a big way. But you saw a bunch of that in this episode, man. It's to the point where now the war is showing allies killing, you know, allies simply because of, you know, unfortunate things of the past. You know, like they're marching at night, so they don't have the technology to see that those are not just German troops that they're gunning down. It's actually POW. So I can't imagine how many scenarios there were. And we talked about it earlier in the series, in those air and those dogfights. There had to have been instances where planes, like friendly planes, fired on friendly planes because of the just the fast pace of everything moving around you.
I would imagine. I would imagine. I felt bad when the P-51 was flying by when everybody was on that march, because I didn't see anything super close up, but I feel like they took out a few Americans with that like strafing run. wouldn't want to be on the ground in front of that thing.
Yeah,
it's terrifying. Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a interesting tidbit, and I think we kind of knew this already going into the show, but the fact that, I mean, we look at World War II now, and some of the first things we think about is the Holocaust, you know, in that sense. Mm-hmm. But back then, I don't think they knew to the degree that people were being murdered in these camps. And so when Rosie's talking to the Russian translator, and the translator says, we have found like tons of these camps, you know, there's numerous mm-hmm. camps like these where people were just left there killed. I think that was mainly for most people a post-war discovery of the atrocities that were done. And to see mm-hmm. that aspect, you kind of get the sense that moment, I don't know if it's historically accurate or not, but that yeah. moment that he saw that camp may have stirred something in him of his post-war career.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, there were parts of this episode for me where I got a sense of like all along the Western Front, like it just kind of reminded me of yes. the movie. I know that's a different world war, but yes. I just like kind of seeing Buck on the escape. It really brought me back to that movie and just kind of seeing all of the young people. I mean, there was points in the episode here where I forget who all made comments about it, but like the German military was like full of really old men.
Yeah,
and like literally men. kids, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, and then at the end, George is killed by a kid, pretty much,
yeah.
While Buck is escaping, and that happens in that movie as well, where like a grown man is killed by a child. You know, so you've survived this entire war only to be killed by a child, which is horrible. But
they had no bones. Yeah.
You also saw the atrocity, just period. You see that like heartbreaking scene with the old Polish man, I think, who had his entire family was killed, and Nazis pretty much forced him to bury. Cover them, you know, with dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see kind of like the ruins that are left behind. You get a sense of that when you see like Nuremberg just destroyed. Mm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I know we're not at the end of the episode here yet, but I really liked how action packed everything was. I loved, you know, kind of that last camp being overrun. That like last like hurrah felt great in the show. Like it really had me on the edge of my seat. Like this like literally this entire episode, I ended up watching it and it was like, all right, I know it's gonna be good. But I was literally sitting on my edge of the seat the entire episode. It was really solid. And the long ending that we got, like with the monologue from, I should say narration from Crosby, I think really was really good. It tied everything in together. It was solid. It was not annoying like a lot of narrations typically are. And I'm thinking about things like Foundation when I say that, but really yeah. solid.
I love when a show has like such heavy conflict and then you get just straight up 20 to 25 minutes to see where these characters end up, like how their lives were and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that they all get to fly a final mission together at the end of the war, where
yeah.
they the milk carton mission, where they're or milk run as they call it, where they don't know if the Germans are going to open fire on them or not, but they're doing this mission to, you know, give a helping hand. They're providing food, and you see the civilians are thankful for them.
Yeah,
when they do it. And it's kind of like such a crazy juxtaposition that the start of the episode, you know, you're dropping bombs, and then the end of the episode, you're dropping food. And, you know, the bombs were well-deserved, but you see what, you know, you see what humanity should. And when I say well-deserved, I mean, don't take it out of context. It's well-deserved in the sense of you're fighting a war against, you know, freaking Nazis. So,
yeah.
But there's always innocent people who get caught in the crossfire, and that's always a tragedy, no matter what side you are on.
That's for sure.
But the end, when they're dropping food on everybody, that shows you like how humanity really should be at all times. It should be about helping each other out, lending a helping hand. It shouldn't be these wars, but you know, politicians make these wars, or you know, religious differences make these wars, and it's just a place that it just feels like that's just the reality of what we always have to deal with on this planet. So
yeah. And, you know, I really did like the milk run as well, right? Like, I don't know, maybe it's just the American in me or my ignorance to how some other, you know, countries may handle themselves. But seeing that, at least for me, I kind of struggled to see how, like I couldn't imagine another, you know, kind of country doing that. Like, could you imagine Germany, you know, dropping food and supplies to people? If they were the ones winning this war, like I just, I couldn't see that. So I was just like, it was a very, very interesting perspective to see, you know, just like that switch, and really the excitement in some of the crew, like, you know, they're happy that they're here to help people.
Oh,
like,
even when they're
Germans. Yeah.
Yeah. Even their enemy or their former enemy. Yeah. You know, you get everything in this scene. You get Buck flying in the left side seat. You know, yeah. Rosie's in the plane as well. Crosby joins in for a mission.
Yeah,
you even get
and doesn't throw up.
He doesn't throw up this time. And you even get the mechanic, Lemons, I think, who's on the plane as well. His first flight ever, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And you even get Bucky at the end, who's back and safe,
and in a plane.
And in a plane. No, he's not in a plane. Bucky's not in the plane.
Is he not? Oh, you're right.
No, he shows up in the car after.
Well, he was in the plane when they left. Right? Like when they all flew out. Not for the milk run. I'm talking about afterwards when they're leaving and trying to head back to the US.
He gets in the plane when they're heading back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Which must have been a fun... Let me tell you, man. That must have been like such a fun plane ride back.
I'm
thinking about all
you don't
the,
have looming death. Yeah.
Well, you don't have that looming death. These guys love flying. And you get this sense that, you know, the danger's over.
Yeah.
You know, the danger's over. I'm with my best bud. I mean, what a freaking blessing that is, like that your best friend going into the war is leaving with you. And you get the scene with Buck saying, you know, I really, because he was very hesitant in answering Bucky. Bucky's the more confident one, the more outspoken, brash one, right?
Yeah.
And he tells him, you know, Buck, if there's two B-17s left, it'll be me and you in them. And Buck at the end, now towards the end of the war, says, you know, Bucky, I really did think that it'd be us two. If there was only two guys left, it'd be us.
Yeah.
And there was them. They survived. And it's just such a great ending to the series in such a major way, man. It really does. I really think of all these World War II things, and we talked about it in the last episode, where you can just, we got to make a compendium of just the best World War II, World War I stories, TV, film, you know, all across the medium, and just connect these stories to tell like a complete, like the complete World War collection, you know?
Yeah.
Reminds me of like Medal of Honor, like the old Medal of Honor game.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah. Where you'd get different soldiers and you'd get their story from a journal or something like that.
Yeah.
But man, I got to say, when you watch this, it's just, I don't know about you, Zach, because I know you have a deep appreciation for veterans and the Greatest Generation.
Yeah.
These guys were truly the Greatest Generation. Look at Rosie. You watch Rosie in this show and you just want to be a better man. You know?
Oh,
like,
I know.
I don't know if you got that feeling watching this, but you were just like, I want to be a better person, you know, watching this series. Just seeing these guys like so selflessly give their lives for this, man. It's just an you know, the gratefulness shouldn't. And the sad thing is that this generation is all but died out. Obviously there are a few people left. What I'm trying to say is that this generation is almost completely gone. And you see the end of the show with the where are they now or what happened to them after the war. And it's sad because they all passed away a few years back. I mean, I think the latest, the one who survived the longest, I think, was Alexander Jefferson. He lived 100 years, I believe. If you want to fast forward to that part of the episode, we can kind of see the final little paragraphs on them.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to go through each of them? Is that what you're saying?
No, if we wanted to talk about each one, you know, we could.
Yeah, we could. But you're really right. Like, everybody, man, the end of the episode was like really, I don't know, emotional, touching. Just kind of seeing like everybody and their stories. And again, like you mentioned, I mean, these people literally put their lives on the line and sacrificed everything they had so that we could be where we are now, right? Like, it's incredible. Like, if that did not happen, I don't even want to think about where we would be, I guess, as Americans, but also, you know, the world.
If that war went wrong?
Yeah.
100%. And there's shows about that. Isn't The Man in High Castle about that?
I've never seen it. I don't know.
Isn't The Man in High Castle like a reality where, and we have one audience member out there who has badgered us for months upon months to watch The Man in High Castle. I've always remembered him because of it. Takes a look at what the world might look like had the outcome of World War II turned out differently. In this dystopian scenario, the Axis powers won the war, leading the United States divided into three parts. I feel like we have to watch this show.
It sounds very interesting. Like I
think it's on Prime.
Four didn't seasons. Recognize the name.
You know, I'm going to watch it, damn it. He won. The audience member who's emailed us, if we look it up on Gmail, we got to shout this guy out right now. Hold on. Banter, right. Zach, banter.
Go ahead and do that. Yeah, all right, well, housekeeping. Well, we are covering some other great shows. Right now, we're focused on a show on Apple TV Plus called Constellation, which I just watched the latest episode, and I got to tell you, man.
Of course.
It was freaking solid. Very, very good episode. Like, I feel sad for you, Mario, that you haven't seen it just yet. But amazing show. It's a science fiction show. It's, you know, it's one of those sci-fi shows that feels like it's based in science.
What are you talking about? Constellation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dude, of course, it's freaking, it's Jareb. It's Jareb who recommended The Man.
Of course it is.
I forgot, but this was July, so forgive me, Jared. All right, he says it's all right. The Man in High. He says, all right, hey guys, I have a show option. I could go on for a while about it, but I won't and just say it. Man in High Castle. It's on Prime Video. It's so damn good, and I'm not opposed to watching the series again just to follow along with your guys' thoughts and analysis on it. Thanks. Keep up the great work.
So that sounds so freaking interesting to watch. I mean, it's like one of those. If historical shows in a sense, but it's all fiction,
right? Well, there's a video game like that called Wolfenstein, one of the, like, the earliest video games ever, but mm-hmm. I played the remake on Xbox with my uncle growing up, and it was one of the funnest military games ever. You play like, I think you play like an American guy, I don't know who you play, but you're pretty much just hunting Nazis the whole game. It's pretty much Inglourious Basterds, the video game, but yeah, something like that. Yeah, but
I'm gonna check this show out. It looks interesting.
I think we covered just about everything we can cover on this finale. You know, the thing with shows like this that are rooted in such like historical fact is that you can discuss it, but it doesn't lend itself towards the scenarios of, how do I put this? Like when we watch Silo, where we can talk about
fan theory, it's not so much around theory. That's why I think the other show that you're talking about, Man in High Castle, looks really interesting, because like that is a show
we can talk.
It looks like there's a few years out, but like it looks like you could kind of go down some theoretical like rabbit holes there. But yeah, I mean, you're right on, right? Like I was talking to you off air about this episode a little bit, and one of the comments I made was like, I kind of feel disappointed that there was no breakout and like escape. I mean, we got every piece leading up to it. We got the maps, we got like some high level notes on like the plan and what they were anticipating to do, and it didn't happen. And then, you know, I say that out loud and I'm like, yeah, but I mean, like, it's kind of hard to really truly be disappointed in that, because that's like just actually what happened, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's,
yeah,
there wasn't a breakout, right? Like, this followed the history and the stories that, you know, were captured. So it's yeah. weird to say that I'm disappointed about that, something like that, but yeah, absolutely. You can have a ton of theory on.
I think people understand that, you know, like, you can't say like, oh man, I'm disappointed that we didn't get to see a breakout. Like, well, it's history, you know, what do we want to change history? That we can't. And that's why I think this, doing a show like this does require a more serious approach. We've definitely been more serious in this series than in others, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but not like, you know, to an crazy degree. If anything, we haven't been serious about it. It's more of like the early episodes where we were really seeing a lot of Austin Butler and Callum Turner posing for the camera. Yeah, at all times. Which, you know, in a way is cool, because you turn Gale Cleven into like this mythical, almost Steve McQueen type figure. We, you know, it's great. So,
it's cool.
Anyways, let's get into some categories, eh?
All right, let's cover, you know, best character of the episode.
Oh, dude.
I feel like we're going to be aligned. It's hard to not be.
All right, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but it's definitely, it's Rosie for me, but it's damn near a two-way tie with Rosie and Bucky.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, the American flag moment, I thought was such a great moment, and the way he puts his life on the line to save his friend. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to pick Bucky, to be honest with you. Crosby too, damn it. I love Crosby. He's so good.
Crosby's great.
You know what's crazy, Zach? We got no more AM Westgate.
That's what I was saying in the last episode. I feel like they just kind of cut the story off. Like, you could get a spinoff.
I think we're getting a spinoff series, dude.
If she did something interesting enough, I'm not quite sure. I don't know enough about her. I mean, it seems like there could totally be something there, but yeah, nothing, not even a mention of her, really. I'm aligned. Rosie and Bucky. It's so hard to pick Bucky over Rosie, because I'm just like, I'm such a fan of his character in this show, but. And Bucky had some really great heroic moments towards the end. And what was it? Stalag 7 or 8 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Great moment. Love seeing him like run to put the American flag up. Favorite scene in the episode. Also a tough one. There's a lot of action packed sequences in here. A lot of like very heavy scenes. Like, I mean, maybe we can pick like the top two or three that stood out to us in this episode.
I gotta say, it's pretty easy for me. The best scene in the episode to me is the opening air mission with Rosie. That to me is definitely the one that wins.
Hmm. That one's great. If I were ranking the scenes, I would probably say it's hard for me to pick one over that like final battle at the Stalag, where the Americans came in, the flag goes up, right? Like, that was the moment where you're just like, all right, frig it, we won. So that was great. Second for me was actually Rosie walking through one of the concentration camps, because it was just so heavy. Dang, it was right, so man.
there were so many good scenes.
Yeah,
so many good scenes.
Yeah,
you got, okay, so let's go through the best scenes. How about that? You got Rosie's opening mission, Rosie's encounter with the concentration camp. Okay. The milk crate thing, like you just mentioned, and the Bucky putting up the flag. Those got to be the top four scenes in the episode. Oh, I also loved Crosby smashing that guy's head into a plate. I did enjoy that.
It was great too. That was just like one of like the highlight moments. It doesn't stand out to me quite as strongly as those other scenes do, though, but good nonetheless.
Well, something happens to Crosby, because after this series, he goes back in time to play John Wilkes Booth. So Apple just released The Hunt. They just released The Hunt, and
oh, that's out now.
I believe he plays John Wilkes Booth in that, and that whole thing is about the manhunt for John Wilkes Booth, who obviously assassinated Abraham Lincoln. But there's so many good shows coming out on Apple TV, but the one I'm most looking forward to at the moment is Franklin, about Franklin, mm-hmm. Benjamin Franklin. And probably the one with Colin Farrell, because Colin Farrell really doesn't miss. I think it's called Sugar. He doesn't miss, yeah. Man. I've never seen something with Colin Farrell in it that I just said, damn, that was bad. I can't think of one. Maybe back in his early movie, like when he was a superstar A-list actor. He still is an A-lister, but I'm talking about like Hollywood icon. He might have done a few duds back then, but lately, not so much.
All right. Well, I'll take a look at that as well. I definitely want to watch The Hunt for John Wilkes Booth and Franklin. Those two look solid.
Look so good. And Michael Douglas playing Franklin, which is just such an interesting choice for Franklin. And you don't see him doing too much. So you just know that that script has to be damn good for him to put his foot back into the arena, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So.
All right. Anything else we missed? Any other categories? I don't think we did wagers on this show.
We did. So. We did one bet, but it was literally only one bet.
And I won it.
You won it. So I mean, you're coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow's St. Patty's Day.
That's not a full on like you owe me something type of thing.
This
you
was
know?
Just like a one off wager here. You know, but it was AM Westgate.
You know, a bag of potato chips. You know.
Yeah.
That'll do. Speaking of wagers, you know, you're lucky I'm not like a mafioso, bro, because I would have been to your house already. And
well, that's the only reason I haven't bought you anything, because I haven't been up here.
All right, y'all. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed our series coverage of Masters of the Air. I mean, it's March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody who's
Happy
out
Saint
there
Patrick's
listening.
Day.
Enjoy a nice cold brew or something, whatever you enjoy.
Irish coffee.
Enjoy whatever you want. All right. We hope you enjoyed the series. You've been with us for 3 months. Think about it. We kicked off the year. This is the end of Q1, Zach. We still got Constellation. We're going to be full revving Constellation. But other than that, it's going to be a one show focus on the channel for a little bit. And maybe just some one-offs. Zach's in the middle of a move. So we're going to maybe just do more one-off episodes rather than committing to a two show coverage. And yeah, that's what I got. Check out Constellation. I'm still watching Tokyo Vice on my own time. I got to do a series, season one. I might just do like a season one, season two wrap up because I'm already in season two. We have a Game of Thrones complete series reaction episode that's 20 years late that I'm going to do with Zach, who just recently finished the series.
Oh, yeah.
And he's starting House of the Dragon. So this was my homework for him to start the year. Watch all of Game of Thrones, watch House of the Dragon, so then when House of the Dragon season 2 comes out in August, I think we can do that as a series. So
I got time. I thought that was going to come out sooner than August.
It might not be August.
I thought it was going to be sooner. I blew through Game of Thrones really quickly. Not trying to hit any sort of deadline. It was that good.
That's
until the end. But yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, that about does it to your
awesome.
Epic outro.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. You can find this podcast anywhere you find podcasts, Apple and Spotify podcasts primarily. You can visit us on YouTube at Soapbox Podcast Network, visit a website at soapbox.house, email us at contact@soapbox.house, and we do have a link in the description below to sign up for our quarterly newsletter.
Awesome. See you guys on Constellation. And until then, have a good one.
Peace.
Peace.